It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, neighbor. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Fresh Oil. I'm your host, Keith Manley, and today I'm looking at a prayer that Paul prayed to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 3. This is what he says in verse 17, "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." What an awesome request. Paul is saying, I'm praying that you might grasp just how much God loves you, how wide, how deep, how long and how high God's love is for you. It's greater than knowledge, he says, that you will be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. What a prayer Paul is praying here for the Ephesians to understand that. And then he said in verse 20, he went on, he said, "Now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us." We have come to know and believe, friend, the love God has for us. Now the Apostle Paul here in Ephesians is completely overwhelmed by the love of Christ. In 2 Corinthians, he said, "The love of God constrains me." It's a medical term which describes someone who's under a fever. It constrains me. It drives me. And this is the pinnacle of his prayer for the saints. He says, "I pray that you may know the love of Christ." We've been talking for several days about the unconditional love of God. It's the source of our love. Really, we can't love each other until we come to understand God's love, because God is love, and it's his love in us that enables us to love those around us. It doesn't begin with us. We love because he first loved us, and our love for him, it's merely a return of his love for us. God said, "Love one another as I have loved you." You see, until I understand how he loves me, how can I properly love my wife, my children, my friends at church? Most of our insecurities that people have today, we walk around with all this hurt inside, and they hurt because they don't understand the unconditional love of God. It's the love of Christ that heals my warped emotions. It's the love of Christ that can heal my body. And it's imperative that I come to know the love of Christ. This is what Satan attacked in the Garden of Eden when he said to Adam, "Did God really say that you'll surely die? God's holding back something from you. He's not seeking your best, but I am." And from that day on, mankind has lived with this suspicion of God, that God's withholding something from us, or perhaps he doesn't love us unconditionally. But friend, man was created by love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Man was loved by the Creator simply because he existed. He didn't have to do anything to be loved. He was simply loved because he was God's creation. And that's all God has ever asked us for, is just to have faith in him, to believe him, and to believe that he loves us. In Christ's day, the language of the world was Greek. And the Greeks' word for love was the word eros. And they were consumed with this word, eros, love. And when the New Testament was written, although it was written in Greek, not one time in this word does he use the word eros. God instead got a brand new word for love. He invents a new word, and it's called agape love. I love you because of, I love you in spite of. It's so much different than human love. Let's look at human love for a minute. When humans say they love somebody, they usually mean, I have found the person who is the highest and the best. When your teenager comes home and says, Mom, Dad, I've fallen in love. He has stumbled onto the female that, in his opinion, is the greatest of all of God's creation. And many times it just means I've fallen into lust. You see, the kind of love that God talks about and that Paul speaks about here in Ephesians is the kind of love which is a giving love. It's the kind of love that I love you in spite of. And that's what God's love is. If God was looking for someone who's the highest and the best, someone he can be proud of, we're all in trouble, friend. Human love is born of need. It's that cry within me to be loved. And it's really me seeking to be loved. I need to be loved. Tell me that I'm special. Make me feel good. And so I go on this quest to fill my need for love. But friend, God's love is so different. It's not an emotion. God's love is human's love is emotion, but God's love is not an emotion. God's love is an extension of Him. It's who He is. God is love. He who cried over Ephraim, who rejoiced over Zion. Jesus is referred to in the New Testament. It says He wept. He wept over Jerusalem and said, how often would I have gathered you under my wings as a mother hen would her chicks, but you would not. God is emotional, but His love is not emotion. God's love for us, it's not born of need. He don't need you. He don't need me, but He created me. He redeemed me. He loved me. God didn't make man because He was lonely and He was lacking something. God is complete. But He came to us out of His fullness, out of His completeness, and God made man in His own image. God loves me not because of who I am, but because of who He is. You're loved today because not of anything you've done, but because of what He did. He loves you because of who He is. God never looks at me and says, oh man, you make me sick. No, He's not devastated by how I act. He just loves me back into fellowship. He pulls the rug out of all the religious manipulations. Love topples all the religious garbage that wants to put you under bondage. See, we bring people to church on Sunday and we tell them how to perform to make God love them, but that's wrong. See, the Pharisees couldn't conceive of this. Someone must merit this. They couldn't understand how Jesus came preaching this new way, this gospel of God's unconditional love. See, it says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 5, He predestined us to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will. He chose us just because He wanted to, just because He loved us. His eternal life is so fantastic that He just wanted to share it. And so He took the risk of introducing another free-willed being like Himself to enjoy it. And so God, through His love, gave birth to mankind. And you are significant beyond all words to God. If you know that God loves you unconditionally, it gives you significance in your life. When you go to work, you know that you're loved. And it'll rid you of all the insecurities that Satan wants to give you and bind you up with. Now remember, man was made to be a human being, but we seemingly become human doings instead of human beings. Think about the fall. There was only two of them, and God could have wiped them out and started all over again. Wasn't like there were millions around. It was just two. But God, because of love, He set a plan in motion to redeem mankind, and He said to Eve, your seed is going to crush the head of the serpent, and right there, He set in motion the day when He would send His Son to die on a cross to redeem mankind and bring them back into fellowship with God the Father. What's God doing after the fall? He's walking around saying, Adam, where are you, Adam? Isn't that amazing? You think God didn't know that Adam had already sinned? He knows the end from the beginning. And yet it wasn't Adam who went looking for God. It was God who came looking for Adam. I believe God was wanting Adam to come and confess to him and say, God, I blew it. I believe that serpent. I often wonder what it would have been like had Adam just came and said, God, I messed up. Can we start over again? Can you just cleanse me of this awful feeling I have and put me back the way I was before? I wonder how things would have played out. The first character of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, when he lists all the people who by faith was Abel and not Adam. It wasn't Adam, because Adam didn't operate in faith. It was Abel who by faith brought God an acceptable sacrifice. I was thinking today of the prophet Hosea, the Old Testament story of this prophet of God. God called him to be a prophet, and then he tells him to go marry this woman, Gomer, who was a prostitute. Can you imagine Hosea having to come home that day and tell his wife, Mama, I've met the girl I'm going to marry. Who is it, Jose? Oh, Mama, it's that woman everybody talks about down the street. It's Gomer, the prostitute. And yet, that's what God called him to do, because God wanted to show his love towards Israel, that even though Israel had been unfaithful to him, God was going to love them back, and God was going to extend forgiveness to them. His mother must have said, Hosea, she's the lady everybody talks about down at the laundromat. Well, then they get married, and they have a son, and God tells them to name that son Jezreel, because I'm going to punish Israel for the massacre they did at Jezreel. See, Jezreel was a battle where Israel was disobedient to God, and God tells them, name this child Jezreel, because they disobeyed me. And then they have a daughter. Now imagine this. God tells them to give the name of this daughter Lo Ruhamah. And you know what it means in Hebrew? Lo is the word for no. Ruhamah means not loved. So God says, name your daughter, your firstborn daughter, name her not loved, because Israel has not loved God. And then they have another son. What's his name going to be? God says, name him Lo Ami, not mine. You've been unfaithful. Can you imagine the heartbreak of this prophet Hosea when he has a son and he has to name that son, you're not mine, knowing in his heart that his wife had been unfaithful to him? And yet God was sending a message to the nation of Israel. You've been unfaithful to me. And you have been with another. You have served false gods. Imagine the heartbreak of this prophet. And then finally, the wife leaves him. Oh, everybody knew it would one day happen. Mama must have said, see, Hosea, I told you so. And he's raising the kids alone. And she is sold into slavery. And now Gomer is a slave. And sometime later, Hosea gets the word that she's being sold at the slave auction across town. And he goes, God tells him, he says, go and show her love again, for I will show my love to Israel once again in spite of her unfaithfulness. That had to be hard. Don't you know that the prophet Hosea must have said, God, I can't do that. Don't make me do that. I've already suffered enough. And so he goes, he takes all the grain that he has, all of his money, and he goes there, and she's coming up for auction, and he bids everything he has to get her back. Isn't that just like God? When we were worth nothing, he bid everything. He so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him won't perish, but have everlasting life. God gave everything to buy us back through Jesus Christ on the cross. Friend, we've been talking about God's unconditional love today on Fresh Oil. He loves us with an everlasting love. I'm so glad you joined me on the program today. Join me each weekday on the same station, and it's so good to come sharing Fresh Oil with you. God loves you, friend.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and He makes His mercies new every morning.